When the Lord Jesus walked with the disciples to the Mount of Olives, just before he ascended to the Father, he gave them one final charge. It was the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They were commanded to start in Jerusalem and then go into the uttermost parts of the earth. And the book of Acts that we have read from tonight is the record of the disciples doing just that. The book begins in Jerusalem, and it ends with the Apostle Paul in the city of Rome, the city that was the capital of the world. The amazing thing is that the book of Acts really doesn't have an ending. It just sort of, while telling the story, abruptly comes to a close with the Apostle Paul still alive, although we know he was executed in Rome shortly after the book was closed. But the book closes with the Apostle Paul in Rome preaching and winning folks to Christ, even though he was in prison. The reason there is no formal ending to the book of Acts is because the book of Acts is still being written today. We are still carrying on the same work. We're preaching the same gospel. We're upholding the same Jesus. We're still carrying on the same work that was begun by the apostles and all the others that are included in the pages of this amazing historical book of the New Testament. A part of that history, the history of the church, is what is recorded in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of God fell upon the disciples, upon the apostles, filling them, and they went out and preached, and 3,000 were saved. Another part of the book of Acts is Stephen being stoned, and a young man by the name of Saul, a Pharisee, holding the coats of the men who stoned him. That Saul would eventually become the Apostle Paul. That's another part of the history of the book of Acts, the history of the church. Saul, the same guy that was holding the coats for the men that stoned Stephen, on his way to Damascus with death certificates in hand, and yet on the road comes face to face with the glorified Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and there Paul is saved. Another part of that glorious book is the conversion of the Philippian jailer and his whole family. And it just continues on. And brethren, until Jesus comes, the history of the church is still being written. A part of that history has been taking place right here at the Church of the Open Door at 550 Baltimore Boulevard in Westminster, Maryland. It is amazing how God has used this church and your support and your prayers and our soul winners. It's amazing how God has blessed this ministry. Every time that we take a missions trip and see folks saved, we are fulfilling the Great Commission that was uttered by the Lord to the apostles on the Mount of Olives that day. We have seen an amazing number of our young men called into the gospel ministry over the years. We have men today serving all over the place, some in churches here in America, some on foreign field. But what I want you to understand is that a part of the history of the New Testament church, a continuation of the book of Acts, is what is happening through the ministry of this church. Tonight we have the blessed opportunity as a church to add workers to the cause of Christ, ordaining two more of our men into the ministry, one that will stay here and will work alongside of me, be an associate pastor here at our church, or an assistant pastor. I don't know what he is. Just as long as he does what I tell him to do, we're all good. But he will work here and help me as I pastor this church. And another who will be a pastor of his own church and will represent the Church of the Open Door in the Philippine Islands. I am so looking forward to the day when they get their church up and running, when they get a building and they get some people that will stand behind them. And I can't wait for the day when we're able to make an announcement that we're going to the Philippines. If you all want to go, you can go with us. And we'll see if we can't see, what was it, 15,000 people saved in a 10-day period in Cebu, like the Lord used us last year in Occidental and Negroes. I'm looking forward to that day. Now, the 13th chapter, if you're familiar with the book of Acts, is a change in the scope and the ministry of the early church. In the first 12 chapters, the focus was upon the apostles and upon the church at Jerusalem. But now, in the 13th chapter, through the end of the book, the focus is about to change. The church at Jerusalem is only going to be mentioned one more time from chapter 13 to the end of the book. And the church that steps up to the forefront is no longer the church at Jerusalem, but the church at Antioch. The three verses that I just read for you give us the account of the great missionary movement that started, that is recorded here in chapter 13 and continues on till today. And you and I are here today and we're saved and on our way to heaven because of what happened in verse 1 through verse 3. You see, in Antioch, there were a bunch of preachers in the church. God had blessed some men in that church. God had gifted them. God had enabled them, and God had called them. And so the church got together, and they fasted, and they prayed. And then the Holy Spirit separated out two men, Barnabas and Saul, and sent them out to preach the gospel. This is the book of Acts. But now tonight, 2,000 years later, here is another local church, just like the one that was at Antioch. And here tonight, we are separating and we are sending out two men to do the work of the ministry. In other words, folks, the need is still there. The plan is still there. And God is still calling men. Now, there are a couple of things I want you to notice from this. First of all, we see here the declared action of the Holy Spirit. The declared action of the Holy Spirit. I think we should be real careful not to miss the exactness, the clarity, the definiteness in which this is worded in verse 3. You will look at it, please, or verse 2, I'm sorry. You will look at it, and it says, the Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost said. He made known His will to these people so that they had absolutely no doubt what He wanted them to do. When we questioned these two men on Thursday, I asked them to give testimony as to when they got saved, and then to tell us about how the Lord called them to preach. And from their testimonies, it was clear to me that God made it very clear to them that He has called them to preach. I think it's been evident in the lives that these men have lived since God called them that they are indeed ready to enter into the ministry. But notice that it says the Holy Ghost said. Folks, please get this point. This is not the picture of a church choosing men to be sent forth to preach and to enter into the ministry. This is not the picture of a church discussing the fitness of men for doing any particular work. There is a sense in which it would be perfectly accurate to say that the church had no voice in the selection of these men. The choice was not left up to the church. The choice was based upon the activity of the Holy Spirit of God. Look at what the Spirit of God said in verse 2. Separate me, Barnabas, and Saul. That's pretty exact. Would you say it's not? I mean, it's not that the Spirit of God said, just pick one. No, the Spirit knew exactly who He was calling. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Folks, the church didn't call them. The Lord called them. But notice the Holy Spirit called the church to have a part in the matter. And that's what we're doing here tonight. I did not call Chris Carabell into the ministry. I did not call Aaron. There you are. I did not call Aaron Fuchs into the ministry. It was the Spirit of the Lord that called them. But the neat thing is, the church gets to have a part in it. Notice the command, separate me. This is the definite activity of the Spirit calling the church into activity to work with Him. The Spirit did the calling, but the church did the separating. The Spirit did the calling of these men to the work, but before they went out, He called the church into definite cooperation with Himself in separating them. And folks, that's what we're doing here tonight. We, the church, are separating these two men, giving our approval, giving our sanction, giving our blessing, giving our support, giving our backing, giving them the freedom and the authority to go and do the work that God has called them to do, not that we have called them to do. What an honor for the church, but also what an honor and privilege for the two of you, Aaron and Chris, that God would reach down and put His call upon you. Man, don't take that lightly. Don't take that lightly. That God would trust you to do His work. That God would single you out. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing that God would give you the privilege to stand and open a Bible and preach the Word of God. The second thing I want you to notice here, I want you to think of the conditions that made possible the Spirit's action. Think of the conditions. Here we see a great principle about the purpose of God in the church. And we see a great principle about the church. It is the picture of the Spirit of God able to make His will known perfectly to a local assembly of believers. It is a picture of a local church assembly able to discover His will without doubt and without any uncertainty. In other words, it is the picture of the Spirit of God and the church of God working together in perfect harmony. And the results are found in the rest of the book of Acts. And all the missionary triumphs that followed. The results are the souls that were saved and the churches that were planted and the victories that were won. And now here we are 2,000 years later, and we get to the blessed privilege of seeing the same thing. Here are two men out of thousands. Two men, and God has spoken to their hearts. And God has led them, and God has called them. And here is a local church, and the local church is now saying to these men, go. Go with our love and our support and our prayers and our sanction and our blessing. Go and serve God and build churches and win souls and be all for God that you can possibly be while there's still time to be what God would have you be. So that leads us to ask, what were the conditions under which all this was possible? What were the conditions whereby the Spirit of God was able to reveal His perfect will? Well, in the three verses that are revealed, I see three conditions. Number one, the first thing is the simple fact that there was a church there. There was a church there. Fella called, I was telling them the other day in the ordination, fella called a couple months ago now. He called and said he wanted to come here and present his work. And I said, you know, flags were just flying everywhere. And I said, well, what mission board are you with? And he gave me the name of the mission board, and I'd never heard of it. And I said, well, what do you do? And so he started to explain to me all the stuff that they do. And none of it made a bit of sense. And I said, sir, let me stop you and let me ask you. I said, where do you go to church right now? I knew that would tell me all I needed to hear. I said, where do you go to church right now? He said, oh, I go to all kinds of different churches. I said, okay, let me ask it this way. What church are you a member of? And he said, well, I'm a member of the church. I said, the what church? He said, you know, the church. And so I knew where he was going, and I wasn't going to let him get by with it. So I just kept fishing until finally he said, I'm a member of the invisible church. And I said, well, then go to the invisible church to get your support. I don't believe in an invisible church. I believe in a visible church. I'm looking at it right now. There was a church there. Secondly, there were men there that were blessed and gifted of God. They were blessed and gifted of God. You'll notice the verse says that there were prophets and teachers. In other words, there were men there who were preachers who could tell forth the Word of God. There were men there that could teach the truths of God's Word. And then thirdly, there was a church that was not just sitting idly by. It was a church that was full of activity. You look at verse 2, it says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Thank God for all the men who have come out of this church. But the reason we have so many that go into the ministry, folks, is because we're not just playing church here. Amen. We're running buses, and that takes work. We have soul winning programs, and that takes work. We train our people. We were also talking about this. I don't know if it was in that meeting or it was sometime here recently. And I made the comment that as I go around the country and preach in churches, I mean independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches, I'm amazed at the number of churches that have zero soul-winning programs. I mean none. And I always ask, I said, when do you have soul winning? And here's what I hear. Oh, we have visitation on Tuesday nights. Or we have visitation on Thursday nights. And I never let that settle. I come back and say, well, that's good. Well, when do you do soul winning? Well, we go out on Thursday nights. I said, are you doing visitation or are you doing soul winning? Folks, it takes work to have a soul winning church. This church was not just sitting around playing church. They were doing something. And I want you to know that this guy sitting right here that we're ordaining tonight was doing something when God called him to preach. This man sitting over here was doing something when God called him to preach. That's the kind of church that God reaches down and calls men out of. In verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Thank God for all the people that have come out of this church. But folks, listen. They come out of the church because they were working. And God looked down and saw them busy. And God said, I can use that. I can trust that. You see, the phrases here pack their own exposition, do they not? I mean, look at this church, folks. Look at these people who were in the church at Antioch. The Spirit of God did not speak to the people of Antioch. He spoke to the church of Antioch. Can you not see the importance now of why we need to keep our church strong? Can you now not see why we must maintain a church on fire and stay after souls and stay in the book and keep our preaching and our teaching solid? Keep our stand solid. Keep our music right. Keep our dress right. Keep our attitudes right. Folks, we can't let the devil get in here. And it is out of a church that the Holy Spirit calls men whom he has endowed with gifts. And it is out of the church where God calls them into the ministry. We can't let the devil slip in. Can't let the devil get in our programs. We got to keep a watchful eye and make sure that we keep our church where it's supposed to be. It is this kind of church where God finds his prophets. Then thirdly, we see the result of this cooperation. In the last part of verse 3, from where I took my title tonight, it says they sent them away. How do you think it happened that the church heard the Spirit speak? How do you think that happened? I don't think it was an audible voice. There's no record of that anywhere in this passage. I don't think it was audibly. I don't think the church, I don't think that they were gathered together and all of a sudden there was a voice that shook across the room and the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. I don't think that's how it happened at all. You say, well, Pastor, it says here that the Holy Ghost said. Can I tell you how I think it happened? I think that whoever was preaching that night, whoever it was, I think while he was preaching, the Holy Spirit began to speak to his heart. I think that through that one man, through that one spokesman, when he spoke, there was an agreement among the people. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Think about it, folks. I want you just to imagine it's 2,000 years ago. I want you to imagine this little assembly of people called the church at Antioch. And I want you to imagine that the preacher gets up that night and he starts to preach. And he looks out at his congregation and he says to them, you know, gentlemen, the Lord Jesus told the apostles and the apostles told us that just before he ascended to the Father, that that Jesus turned around and looked at them and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Our blessed Savior said that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I figure he looked out at his congregation, saw them sitting on the edges of their seats, and said, you know something, folks? We've got some of the best preachers in Christianity right here in our own church. And he probably turned and pointed to Barnabas and said, that guy's sitting right over there, old Barnabas. Man, what a preacher he is. And there's his protege, there's Paul. What a preacher Paul is. And over here is Simeon. And we all know what kind of man Simeon is. And his friend is sitting beside of him, Manan. Man, what a preacher is this young man. And I can hear the preacher now as he says, you know, what we ought to do is as a church, we ought to support them and send them out to preach the gospel. And as soon as he said it, the Spirit of God confirmed his words in the heart and mind of every person sitting in that congregation. And the church said, we agree. I dare say that even Paul and Barnabas sitting on one side and Simeon and Manan sitting on the other side, probably all of them looked at one another and said, you know, we ought to do that. We ought to do that. Sometimes we've had it happen here, Pastor Curtis. Long before Pastor Curtis, it happened many times. Dale Kidd before him. Charlie Scott before him. Mark Campbell. There's been so many of our people that have gotten saved and God's called them. And then they worked here for a while maybe to get a little experience. And then God sent them out. Folks, I'm telling you, that's what it's all about. Reproducing yourself. So that we can get more done for the cause of Christ. And so the church sent them out. One final word, and we as a church will send these two out. No man can go unless the Spirit calls him. Men cannot make a preacher. Seminary, there's not a Bible college anywhere or seminary anywhere that can make a preacher. Listen to me, the church cannot make a preacher. The preacher must be made by God. Unless he hears God's Spirit calling, then he ought to just stay where he is. But if he hears the Spirit calling, then he has to do what the Spirit's calling him to do. And I can stand here tonight and recommend to you that the Spirit of God has called these two men. And gentlemen, as you go, remember that it is your business to go forward within the fellowship and under the guidance of this local church body. You have heard God's Spirit call you. You have answered that call. You have studied. You have learned. You have prayed. God has opened doors. Church, we must realize that it is now our blessed opportunity to say with one voice, let's send them out from among us. But as we send them out with our blessing, with our support, with our prayer, and with our love. And as we do, we realize it is God who gives the increase. It is God's Spirit that has worked together with a working church to accomplish God's purpose of seeing souls saved and churches built. I would like to right now entertain a motion. And Galen, is Galen here? Galen, would you write this down, please? I'd like to right now entertain a motion that we ordain as a church Chris Carabell and Aaron Fuchs into the gospel ministry. George Real makes that motion, and I need a second on that, and Jack Wright seconds it. All right, so all those in favor of the motion of ordaining these two men into the gospel ministry, would you signify by saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. And of course, there are none opposed. May God add His blessing to what has been done here tonight. Bow your heads with me for just a moment. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, one thing has been consistent through all that Larry said, all that was sung tonight, and all that I said, and that one consistency is this: it's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, what is that gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is the gospel that saves us. Now listen very carefully and I'll be done. Everybody in this room tonight is either saved or you're not saved. If you're saved, it is because you have trusted Christ as your Savior. You don't get saved by going to church. You don't get saved by getting baptized. You get saved by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His death, burial, and resurrection. Saved people are on their way to heaven. And if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, then you're going the other direction. Now, don't get mad at me for saying that, because God said it long before I did. God says you must be born again. And if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want you to know you can trust Him. And what greater opportunity than right now for you to trust Him? Now, there are a couple of quick things you need to understand. First, you need to understand you're a sinner. You're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. We also must understand, secondly, that the wages of sin is death. What you get paid for sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. That death, you keep reading through the Bible and you get over to Revelation, you'll find out that death means hell. The wages of sin. What you earn for sin is hell. You say, well, Pastor, I certainly don't want to spend eternity in hell. I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. I've read what the Bible says about it. It's an awful place. You say, well, what do I do? Well, here's the good news. This is where the gospel comes in. The Bible tells us that Jesus, God's Son, came to this earth and willingly went to the cross and took your place in death. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And instead now of, let's take me for instance, instead of me having to go to spend eternity in hell because I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, almost 39 years ago now, God took my sin penalty away from me and put it on His Son. Jesus died so I wouldn't have to. You say, well, that sounds pretty good. I just trust in what Jesus did. Yep, that's what I'm saying. You say, well, how do you do that? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here tonight and you don't know for sure you're saved, what you need to do is you need to call upon the name of the Lord and ask the Lord to save you. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to call upon the name of the Lord. That's why you're in a great spot right now, because I can help you do that. I can help you call upon the name of the Lord. To call upon the name of the Lord simply means to pray. And I can help you pray right now where you are in your seat, and you can pray and ask the Lord to save you. So if you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, but you'd like to be saved right now in your seat where you are right now, I want you to pray with me this simple little sinner's prayer. And you can trust Christ right here, right now. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to just pray with me and say in your prayer this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner and that I need to be saved. And right now, I call upon the name of the Lord and I ask the Lord Jesus to come into my life, to forgive me of my sin, and to help me to know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Lord, right now I repent of my sin and I give my heart to you. Lord, I can't save myself, so I'm asking you to save me. And Lord, thank you for speaking to my heart tonight and for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around, if you prayed that prayer with me just now and you meant it, I want you just to raise your hand and hold it up where I can see it. Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, young ladies. Good. Anybody else? Pastor, I prayed the prayer with you, and I want to raise my hand right now and let you know that I prayed and received Christ as my Savior. Anybody else, would you just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it? Just lift your hand and hold it up. All right, Father, thank you so much for speaking to our hearts tonight. Thank you for these that have prayed and received Christ. And Lord, we ask now that you will just help these to clearly understand what they've done in calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting Christ as their Savior. And Lord, I pray that you will bless in a mighty way now as we have a closing time of prayer. And Lord, as we, the church body, send Aaron and send Chris into the gospel ministry. Lord, we ask your blessings and pray that you will use them mightily for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Aaron, if you would come, please, and Chris, and get two chairs and set them right here. And Brother Heath, I'd like to ask you if you come and stand with us. And Todd, if you would come, if there's any other men that are ordained in the ministry, you're welcome to join us as well. And guys, if you will sit right here. All right, now what we're going to do here now is we're just going to put our hands on these men and pray for them and ask God's richest blessings as they go out. And I'm going to ask Pastor Stainer if he will to pray, and then I'll close.
Well, our Father, as we come before you, we're thankful for this opportunity. We're thankful, Lord, for these two men and their love for thee and their testimony and their families. And, Lord, the work they've accomplished, and most of all, your calling upon their life.
Yes.
And Lord, as we come before you this evening, we pray that you would bless these two men as they endeavor to serve you. Lord, we just pray that you would give them your wisdom and your power and your love. Lord, we know that in the days ahead, they're going to need, Lord, you every step of the way. And so we just pray your hand of blessing to be upon them.
Yes.
Lord, we pray that you give them a fruitful ministry. Lord, we pray that they would not get sidetracked or be discouraged along the way, but help them always to look to you. And Lord, just help them to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we know that the work can be difficult, but we know that you can sustain them. And Lord, it's a great work. We're thankful for the work that you've called him into. And I just pray that, Lord, as Aaron goes to the Philippines, that you just bless him. And Lord, that just multiplied thousands would come to Christ as he establishes churches and wins souls. And so, Lord, bless their work. Bless Chris as he labors here, that you just, Lord, use him. And maybe he be a blessing to our church. And Lord, may he likewise be a blessing to children and be able to reach children with the gospel. So we pray your richest, fullest, and very best blessing upon these men. May your hand of blessing be upon them, guide them each step of the way, and may your power direct their steps and enable them to accomplish your call and your work. And Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we do thank you from the depths of our heart for all the blessings that you have poured out upon us. Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of these men that they have worked, prepared, studied, Lord, sacrificed in order to finish college and, Lord, to get as much under their belt as they can. And now, Lord, as we, the church of the Open Door, send them out into the ministry, Lord, we pray first your blessings upon the church, but Lord, we also pray that you will bless these men and their families. And Lord, what a privilege it is to serve the true and living God. What a privilege to be able to open up the blessed old book and preach from it. And Lord, thank you for the call in their lives. And Lord, I pray that they will ever look to you for their needs, and that, Lord, you will guide their steps, open doors of opportunity. Lord, that you will keep them close to you. Lord, we pray for power to be upon them. That, Lord, the Holy Spirit will fill them as they preach. That, Lord, they will preach as the oracles of God. And Father, I pray for Aaron and Gina, and as they go tomorrow night and head for the Philippines, Lord, it's going to be some trials, some difficulties along the way, but Lord, help them to endure all the trials. Lord, we pray that their support will not wane, and that, Lord, they will get there, and that you will just lead and guide them as they start to witness and see folks saved and build a church. And Father, I pray for Chris. Just thank you so much for the way you've worked in his life. Lord, thank you for his spirit. And Lord, for the gracious heart that you've given him. And Lord, no doubt in preparation for the job that you've led in my heart and in his heart for him to do here at Church of the Open Door. And Lord, I pray that you will bless him, keep him close, keep him strong. Lord, as he grows and learns, that Father, you will give him wisdom to follow in your footsteps. So Lord, we ask that you will just bless him richly. Thank you, Father, so much for all that you've done here tonight in our hearts. And Father, we pray that as we, the church, send these away, that, Lord, you will bless them and use them mightily. And, Lord, we'll rejoice and thank you for what you do in their lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. 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 All right, thank you, gentlemen. Y'all stay right here. All right, Amy, if you will come, please. Where are you? I know you don't want to do this. And Gina, if you will come, please, and stand. I want everybody to meet you as well. This is Aaron's wife, Gina. And this is Chris's wife, Amy. And we have two little things to give them, and then we'll be dismissed. The first thing that we have here is an ordination certificate. And it says, "We, the undersigned, hereby certify that upon the recommendation and request of the Church of the Open Door, Westminster, Maryland, which had full and sufficient opportunity for judging his gifts, and after satisfactory examination by us in regard to his Christian experience, call to the ministry, and views of Bible doctrine, Christopher Thompson Carabel was solemnly and publicly set apart and ordained to the work of the gospel ministry by authority and order of the Church of the Open Door in Westminster, Maryland, on this 24th day of May, 2009. And it is signed by all of us. And so, Chris, on behalf of the church, I present this to you. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. And this is the same thing over here for Aaron John Fuchs. God bless you, Aaron John. All right, and we also have a couple of brand new study Bibles for you. These have never, I tore the wrapping off of this one, but these have never been opened, never been used, and they are Scofield study Bibles, and from the 1917 notes, which have a few problems, but not as many as the others. And so anyway, read the text. Stay away from the notes, okay? God bless you, my friend. God bless you. There you go. God bless you, Aaron. Love you, buddy. Thank God for you. All right, folks. Isn't this wonderful? I just thank the Lord for what He's done here tonight.